of the law and more subjective parts of the code, we take issue that Commissioner Fritz's apparent solution to better design is making it okay to say no. The end result of a public agency that's encouraged to say no is a dynamic that assumes few common goals between applicants and neighbors and, in effect, encourages applicants to skip the discretionary design review process altogether in favor of the prescriptive part of our code known as the community design standards. The standards result in predictability, they result in efficiency, and they result in clarity, but rarely, if ever, do they result in great design. More fundamentally, the standards do not reconcile the perceived disconnect between compatibility and density. Creative and discretionary design is precisely how we can provide compatible density. Rather than trying to draw a line between density and compatibility, the AIA urges you to promote great design and compatible density by providing more resources to design review so we can encourage a collaborative approach between applicants, staff, and the community. Specifically, more qualified staff are needed under Tim and Kara to provide the support needed for them to guide their heavy workload and ease their backlog in a meaningful way. They need more resources to get to yes with better design as the end result. We need our leaders to value great design. We need you to be ambassadors for a quality built environment, and we need you to want more than the lowest common denominator known as the community design standards. We need you to support architects as we raise the bar through a discretionary design review process to achieve compatible density. Finally, we need you to see Portland's architects the same way as you see other neighbors, as local experts who want nothing more than the best for our city. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If you haven't already done so, could you provide us with a copy of that testimony? Not necessarily
Absolutely,
right
Mayor.
Now, but sometime soon.
You bet.
Thank you.
Mr. Roddy, thanks for giving me the opportunity to clarify. My memo was about land divisions. It wasn't about design review. So I have since sent out another memo to clarify that. I do, however, agree that occasionally the answer can be no in discretionary reviews. So there is, as you've heard, the Design Commission always tries to get to yes, and sometimes that takes many iterations, and I appreciate the partnership of the AI and the Urban Design Panel for helping to design projects that can get to yes. But I do think it's important that not where you have a discretionary land use review, it's not an entitlement. And there should be an opportunity for a design commission or a city council to say, actually, no, this on balance doesn't meet the approval criteria. But thank you for letting me clarify that my memo was not about design review.
May I respond?
Please.
What I would like to urge you to consider is, as we move forward with 2035 and the comp plan and the community design standards, if those community design standards aren't brought up to a better level of where they need to be, that is going to be the default. And so when you create a culture of no, developers are going to go to the standards, and it's going to be a losing situation for all of us.
I totally agree, and let's be clear, I am not creating a culture of no.
Okay.
I'm just saying that the public interest is what's at stake in discretionary reviews.
Thank you,
Commissioner. Thank you very much. We appreciate your partnership with us on this work.
Thank you.
Okay, next.
Lauren Waxman, Anoy Jansky, and Charles Johnson.
Good morning. Go ahead.
One more, Carl.
Yes.
Let's go with Mitch Nichols, then.
No, you got it.
Mr. Jansky, go ahead while Mr. Waxman's
okay.
Getting organized here.
Thank you, Commissioner, Mayor. I'm Andrew Jansky. I served on the Design Commission for 8 years. It was an enjoyable term of service. We started with the boom cycle and had eight-hour meetings, and ended with the bus cycle where meetings were canceled. So I kind of experienced everything. And I was the member at large for a while, and I was looking out for the neighborhood interests. And from my experience, the design commission and review system typically works well, and projects come out better on the after they've gone through it. And the examples that you saw earlier were really excellent examples. How long it takes to get through the system? I was one of the ones on the commission when the Burnside Fred Meyers was first presented, and I remember people saying that it's a suburban design put on in the city. So, you know, it takes a long time to get through the system. But the project is a lot better. One pillar of our system is the neighborhood association and how it fits into all this. They're good intentions, and it's worked well in the past for the community to express their voice. But there's some recent examples where it's really not the case. You know, I just feel like neighborhood associations are small groups of people that are talking about things, and they can typically grow in size around an anti-cause, anti-density, anti-dogs, anti-parking, anti-bikes, anti-laughing kids. You pick it, and they're going to try and get together to block something. The best examples at Design Commission were when we told them to go back and work with a neighborhood association and try and come up with a solution. When they came back, the project was a lot better. But what I've seen lately is the polarization at some of the neighborhoods really starts really low, and then they get together and they form an opposition that sometimes doesn't work with the development team. And I think we've seen several examples recently that. What I'm suggesting is that the city's staff in these smaller forums encourage the neighborhood associations to be more accommodating, to actually work with the things that are coming down the pipeline instead of just opposing it. And the solutions will be better instead of just saying no at the lowest level. And it's usually a couple people that catalyze this opposition. And if we would have staff say, no, we need to be accommodating for other people's opinions, let's work this out from really like the grassroots level. So that's my point.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Just a comment made. I agree. It seems to be a lot easier for people to coalesce against anything than for anything. But I do have to say that laughing children have posed a huge problem in the city in recent years. I understand the opposition to them.
Yeah, we got to deal with that.
Mr. Waxman, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lauren Waxman. I was on the Design Commission from 2000 to 2008 for 8 years, and I've been a developer here in Portland with my own company, Waxman & Associates, for almost 25 years now. So Portland is a great place. And anyway, I'm going to talk about three things, a little bit about the recommendations that were in front of you, and I want to talk a little bit about some of the issues in the R25 zone. And I also want to talk about our comp plan and some of the, and just sort of boxcar into a few things that I heard here today. I liked the recommendations that were presented by the Design Commission today, although I just wanted to chime in that I'm not sure that ground floor residential citywide, I'm a little bit worried about that in the areas that are further outlying. I think you're going to have some dead commercial retail spaces. I think that hurts. So I think there needs to be a mechanism there for those to convert over time. I'm not sure what it is, but you've got a lot of people who I think can help us with that. The R25 zone, I live over near the Clinton neighborhood. We've heard a lot about demolitions. We've heard a lot about land divisions. But you know what I see going on in my neighborhood is a good thing. I walk a lot. The houses that I feel are disappearing are the kind of, it's like a wildfire. We're in a really hot business cycle, and what's getting cleared out in my neighborhood are the old and the sick and the weak. And when I walk through, do I love every home that I see coming in? I don't. Could the design be better? Yes. But what I see are families and young professionals with dogs and instead of drug houses. And so that's a big deal to me. I think we're getting better. But that leads to, you know, do we extend D into these neighborhoods? And I think we could, but I think we need to be really, really careful about that from a staffing point of view. And I think we should do it with much consideration, which sort of brings me to the comp plan. And I think Portland's best planning and what's really made Portland great over the years is our comprehensive planning. And I think that the design toolkit, as John Spencer was saying, it needs to be updated, not just the community design standards, but the design guidelines. But I think it should be taken on like the comp plan with seriousness and with the whole future in mind and really thinking about how we want to make it better, because they are a little bit outdated. So I think that's a much better way to look at our planning rather than looking at these demolitions, looking at some of these LUR decisions, looking at some of these developer fees. I think those aren't planning in a comprehensive way. I think our best planning is in a comprehensive way. And lastly, I'd just like to say I appreciated Dave Oddie's comments, the AIA president, I would endorse those and add my, you know, same sentiments to those. I thought they were very good.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm Mitch Nichols, Mr. Mayor, councilors. I'm the inspection services manager for the city and BDS, and I'm here just to voice our support for the processes and the moving forward with the design commission's recommendations. As with every process in the city that involves development, there is a great deal of mindfulness when it comes to how the building code, how the design code, and how the zoning codes work together. Very complimentary of the DRAC committee for their work and the recommendations that they bring forward in this process to help with the development of our community, but at the same time, being mindful of the concerns with interaction with the public and the pedestrians on the sidewalks and so forth. Very, very critical to get it right. I think a great deal of work and effort has gone into doing that here, and I'd like you to know that we fully support the effort.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We're keeping you busy out there.
You definitely are.
Okay, anyone else signed up?
I believe Linda Nedokovin wanted to speak.
Linda? Is Linda still here? There she is. Good morning.
The last word.
Last word from Lad's Edition.
Hosford Abernathy.
Okay. That too.
For the record, I'm Linda Nedokovin. I wasn't planning to speak this morning, but I feel compelled. I agree with a lot of the suggestions that have been made, and I'm really appreciative of all the hard work that the Design Commission puts into its mission. I'm really here to plead with you to see if there isn't something we can do on an interim basis to improve perhaps the worst of the design guidelines and the design standards. I'm a person who tends to attack problems from the perspective of comprehensive, big picture, all the important people at the table. That's my way of doing things. But I also have been working on Division Street since 2000 and have watched the change. And we've had 300 and some new units go in within 2 years, and the pace continues. We hear from our BPS staff folks who are very supportive and very helpful that we're looking at 2017 before the comprehensive plan is adopted by the state and zoning kinds of changes can go into effect. And we are looking at 2019 if we do, at a minimum, some kind of comprehensive look at those design standards. Our corridors will be gone. We'll have missed the opportunities to really make them the best that they can be. In some cases, we're going to be losing historic treasures because we don't have the transfer of development rights or the historic incentives at an optimum. We're losing our affordable housing. We're losing, Lauren's in my neighborhood, he's coming to us in a couple of weeks with the development, we'll be nice to him. We're losing affordable housing as we're tearing down, you know, the weak and the sick and everything, you know, in the wildfire. And we're not replacing it in kind, and we're not replacing more. I mean, we have, 36% of our population is, you know, at a standard where they don't have enough income to support themselves in an adequate way. And it's going too fast, as someone else said. Somehow we need to be able to pause this a little bit, and we need to be able to be more thoughtful about some of what's being built. The depiction of a neighborhood response certainly is accurate in some instances and maybe in too many instances, but we're setting this up right now. We're polarizing things in a way we don't have this kind of grand narrative about the growth in our city that people can sign on to and say, oh, I see, we're taking our share of growth here, and we're doing it in a way that is compatible with the history of who we are and who we want to become. You know, that isn't happening. People feel like things are being thrust on them. They have no way, good way to respond. At a minimum, we need to change the notification requirements. We could do that fairly quickly, as we did with the demolition code, so that there's a more of an early conversation with the neighborhood before plans are finalized, and then a more final conversation when things are close to ready to go for permit. Chance to see things in scale to understand how a building is going to fit on a street. There are some little things that we could tweak more quickly, and I'm just asking that we please find some things that we can do more immediately than, you know, just for the long term, which, again, we want to do in a good way.
Linda, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You're the last speaker, so just if I want to take advantage of this opportunity. So I took a walk around my neighborhood recently, and I
I noticed we have a lot. I live in the Grant Park area, so a lot of bungalows, craftsman style. We got some modern houses that have come in. We have small houses, big houses. Used to be you could buy a house for $200,000. Now people are selling their bungalows for $400,000, and they're being demolished and replaced with $800,000 homes. And we hear all the concerns in neighborhoods about the lack of affordable housing, about the impact on neighborhoods, on and on and on. How much do you think in this debate, how much is, or how much would you value the question of the design and the context for these houses? My sense is a lot of these big houses that are coming into areas that have a traditional stock of housing just look like they've been transplanted from a suburban development into an inner city neighborhood, and they're just in terms of size and scale and design, they look like alien creatures. How much of the anxiety in the neighborhoods you think would be addressed through the design component versus all the other underlying issues?
I think that varies very, very much from neighborhood to neighborhood. I mean, you think of the folks from Beaumont, Wilshire, where there's a lot of demolition within the context of the single-family housing. In a lot of the areas that are facing more, kind of corridor development, it's the impact on the neighbors, behind the new buildings going in, and also the look and feel of the buildings that are going in on the corridors. There's the challenge of somehow upping the design literacy across the community so that people have an option to say something besides no. And so in some neighborhoods, that would make a big difference. I work a lot with the Division Design Initiative, and we've been trying to create design guidelines for divisions so at least developers would have a sense of kind of what the values of the community are around design. We also submitted a proposal to the Meyer Trust trying to get some funding to create a design toolkit that a lot of other neighborhoods could use and to try to pilot it with one of the DCL partners or a lower-income neighborhood to see what we could do to help a neighborhood that doesn't have architects living down the block who can help at those conversations you're doing development. That makes a big difference in a neighborhood. If you've got folks on your board who speak the language, I mean, how many people on the street know what an FAR is or understand the difference between mass and scale? And suddenly people are asked to respond to these changes that are happening, and they don't necessarily have the tools.
Didn't we, Commissioner Fritz, didn't the council do that years ago a little bit with the skinny house controversy in Kansas, yeah, where there was an effort to create some design protocols or examples? And
I had example, Commissioner Fish. That's a really long conversation. I would have to say that was not a particularly successful project.
All right, so we don't want to avoid those mistakes of the past. But anyway,
that was analogous in terms of the amount of discontent and frustration that was generated in the community, yeah, definitely.
And what I remember, some of the conversations were, well, if these kinds of houses are coming into the area, can they at least be consistent with some of the design values of the neighborhood so they fit in and contextual? And all right, so a longer conversation.
Yes.
Thank you.
But coincidentally, Commissioner, that was part of what my memo to the staff on the land divisions was, is look at the context of the neighborhood when making a discretionary decision.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Mayor, I move to accept the report.
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call on accepting the report.
Fish?
Well, thank you for an excellent presentation and really a first-rate PowerPoint. And I will say just my guess is every commissioner up here would say the same thing, that these before and after type pictures where you explain the values proposition and you show us what it looked like and then what happened through your intervention and the collaborative process is very helpful to better understand the value added proposition. So thank you. I really appreciated the thoughtful discussion today and the testimony. And since a lot of people are here today who serve as volunteers in this really important capacity, thank you for your service. We really appreciate it. Aye.
Novick?
I second what Commissioner Fish said. I really appreciated the specific examples of what you actually do, and I think that's very helpful to us and to the community, and appreciate your service and the staff and everybody who testified today. These are tough issues, and one point I think it's important to make is that Everybody's concerned about government being, not everybody, but there's a lot of concern about government being too big. But if you expand the number of things that you want government to worry about, then government has to be bigger. So if we're going to talk about expanding the reach of design review or making it more fine-grained, then that means Commissioner Fritz is going to have more people. So I just thought it was important to make that point. Aye.
Fritz. Well, good citizens truly are the riches of the city, and thank you to the Design Commission for the phenomenal amount of work that you do and the high quality of the results, and thank you for helping to make it a great city. Thank you to Tim Herron and the team of staff, and to Mitch Nichols for coming to show that actually BDS does have many different divisions, and we work really hard to work together and to make it work for the development community as well as for the neighbors. Thank you to my colleagues, and yes, we are going to be having quite a significant budget ask. Aye.
Hales.
Well, I want to thank all the current and former members of the Design Commission who are here today and representatives of the design community. We do have a high level of understanding in this city between the public sector, the private sector, and the nonprofit sector about what kind of city we want. And we constantly have to bring new citizens into that conversation. And I think some of the turmoil we're seeing in our neighborhood network really kind of reflects that. I want to first, thank you for the report. Second, pledge that we're going to move quickly on the recommendations that you've made, because I think they're very important. And then third, just want to deal with one of the points that got raised in discussion here and might be the subject of other opining around the city about this. I think it's important to remember, and these examples showed it, that good design is not a trade-off between an economically strong city and a pretty one. It's not like we only get to choose one. And the comments that I recited about the developer who said, thank you for pushing me to make my project better, really illustrate that. Earl Blumenauer is speaking next door to our manager's brown bag this week. Fred Miller has this series, and Earl's the speaker. And one of Earl's comments that I love quoting was about a woman named Elsa Coleman, who was our parking manager and who was responsible for implementing the draconian idea of limiting parking in the downtown core after the Environmental Protection Agency forced us to do that. And Earl said of Elsa something that kind of applies to the Design Commission. He said, never has one woman made more men rich over their objections. So never has one commission made one city better over at least some people's exceptions, because that's what you've done. I mean, that's what this does, is hopefully most people, as that developer did, see the point and see the value that's added by good design, because those buildings are going to be around for 100 years, and one that looks like that building is going to be worth a lot more in the 50th or the 100th year than the one across the street that's going to have to either be heavily remodeled or demolished someday to make way for a real urban building. So there's a real value proposition here, and I think it's important to state that. This is not a trade-off between an economically strong city and good design. They are one. And I think our commission understands that, our development and design community by and large understands that, and that's the ideal that we need to strive for. There's some things here we have to tune, and some of them quickly, in order to actually get what we're striving for. And I think you've got our attention, as this report always does. So thank you so much. Aye.